As most of you will know, we're looking at a series on discipleship over this month and the coming months leading right up to Christmas. And the particular flavour that we're attaching to that subject is the way in which we can help each other to become more like Christ. So we're all his disciples, but we also have an obligation and an opportunity to help each other to become more like Jesus. So we disciple each other in the same way that Jesus discipled the first 12 disciples. So that's the theme that's flowing right through this three-month period. And we're looking at different topics. And for each of those, we're looking at how we can help each other to be better at doing whatever that particular thing might be. And this week, we're looking at prayer. Now, when I volunteered to speak on this subject, which was a few months ago, I didn't know that this would be the week in which we'd be settling on our new home. And in fact, even when we'd signed the contract and we thought, well, okay, this is how it's all happening, this is good, we were settling tomorrow. And I thought, well, I can squeeze that in. I'll be able to prepare a sermon and speak on Sunday and then get busy the following day when we settle on the home. But the owners asked if we could bring the settlement date forward a week, and that actually suited us quite well. So we settled last Tuesday, but that left me rather squashed for time to prepare a sermon. But God knew all this in advance, because he's been working in James's heart for a while, and James has something that he would like to share with all of us about his experience of prayer. And so really, I don't have much to do this morning, because James has got a fantastic story to tell about his experiences of prayer over his life as a Christian, and I'm really looking forward to hearing that from him. But I did want to share a couple of things beforehand, and one was just to reflect on the first prayer that I ever learnt. And I'm wondering if any of you can remember the first prayer that you were ever taught, the first prayer that you ever learnt, the first prayer that you ever spoke. And for me it was, as I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many know that one? Just about everybody. Pretty macabre prayer in some ways. I don't quite remember what I thought of that as a 4 or 5 year old, but allowing a 4 or 5 year old to contemplate the fact of death in their nightly prayers, a bit strange in some ways. But nonetheless, that was the first prayer that I learnt. The second one was most probably, for what we are about to receive, may the Lord make us truly grateful. That rings a bell. Now, I had a Catholic upbringing. The next prayer I learnt was, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And we learnt to say it about that quickly, because the more of those prayers you said, the better off you were going to be, you know? That was what we believed. I don't believe that anymore. But I'm just letting you know that's part of my Christian heritage. And we learnt another prayer, the Gloria. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And the Our Father, which I will treat a little more reverently. And those were the first 5 prayers I learnt. And as a child, that is really what prayer meant to me. It was saying those prayers. It was saying that prayer each night before I went to sleep. It was saying grace before our evening meal. And it was saying those 3 prayers, which in the Catholic tradition make up the rosary, which is a prayer that Catholics pray quite frequently. I can remember as children, I had 4 brothers and a sister, and I can remember there's 8 of us kneeling around a round playpen thing that we had in our family room every evening and praying the Our Father 10 Hail Marys and the Glory Be every night as a kind of a family prayer thing. Now, that's not the way I pray anymore. And so for me, there's been a lifelong journey of learning what prayer is. Part of it I've learnt through reading what other people have written about prayer. Part of it I've learnt from hearing other people speak about prayer and what their experience and what their understanding of prayer is. Part of it I've learnt from my own experiences of prayer and the prayers I've prayed and the ways in which they've been answered. But I think the most important part of it is what I've learnt from other fellow Christians who are at a similar stage of their journey as I am, or maybe more mature or maybe less mature Christians who've had their own experiences of prayer. And we either talk about them or we actually pray together, and just through the experience of praying together, we learn how different people pray and how their prayers are answered. And that's been very much my experience, and that's the whole thing about discipleship, the fact that we each have got something to share, that we each can help others to understand better what it means to pray and to explore different ways of praying and to build our expectations about what prayer is. And I think that's really, really important. And that's why I'm so grateful that James, I think his first mention of this was to Dave Ferguson several months ago, but James basically said, I've been thinking about prayer a lot and I've had a few experiences of my own and I really feel ready to share them with the rest of the fellowship one Sunday morning. And that's this morning. So I'm very glad this morning to be able to ask James to come up and share his testimony, his story about what prayer means to him. Thanks, James.
Thank you, Michael.
God bless you.
Thank you, buddy. Yes, yeah, so I will be sharing a bit of that and just a bunch of different prayers that we can go about in my story. To start out, when I did communion up here last time, I finished up and David Ferguson pointed out to me, he said, you did a good job, but you didn't pray at the end of it. Well, I was going to start by saying there was a reason for that. I gave a very simple message. What Jesus did, he did it for you, and we could say thank you. So being a simple man, I would have prayed, thank you, Jesus, for what you did. So I purposefully didn't. But I promise you, David, today I will pray just for you, all right? So, now look, there's all sorts of prayers that you can do, and there's all sorts of uses for prayers. Recently, I have asked David to pray over me. I was feeling a bit run down from work. I'm taking on more and more responsibilities. I'm busy inside and outside of work, and in fact, instead of not wanting to do it, I'm volunteering myself for more and more. So believing in prayer as I do, instead of saying I can't do it, and the power of prayer, I've asked for him to pray over me, for me to feel refreshed and renewed and for strength. And I must say, I don't feel too bad. I'm still very busy, but it seems to be working. There is all sorts of prayers, and I think personally the best prayer that you can do is simply God bless. God bless David, Michael, Mum and Dad, bloke down the street, I just met him, he seems like he's having a rough time, God bless him. And I think that's the best prayer that you can do. In fact, when I was young and I was having a lot of troubles, I didn't really believe in anything, and I was getting in trouble, and I didn't used to see dear old Nan very much, but when I did speak to her, she'd say, I always pray for you, James, every night I pray for you. Well, I thought, well, it certainly can't hurt, it can only help, and I'll take all the prayers I can get, and that was way back then, 20 or more years ago. So God bless is a great prayer. And excuse me, I was sure I wouldn't need notes, but I'm just getting nervous. So God bless is a great prayer. And prayer, you know, anybody can pray, and they probably find it easier than they realise. It comes easier than you realise. And I'm reminded of a story of myself when I was a young man, and I was about 12, and I upset somebody. Well, he had a lot of friends, and they pursued me. I've never been a good runner, so I jumped over a fence into a shed. And well, now, I wasn't a big believer in anything, but what do you reckon my mind was doing? Of course, it was going, if they don't find me, I'll be a better person and all that. Now I didn't really know who I was speaking to as I do nowadays, but what I do know is I was certainly hoping for some greater force was going to save me that day. Well, I still seem to be here. I must admit, I went on through life a little bit like that, sort of praying at times when of desperation or when I felt the pain was too great or about to be. And as Elizabeth pointed out to us, you know, if that's the only time you're praying, well, you know, that's you're only praying in your times of desperation. Well, the good news there is that I now pray for all sorts of reasons. I'll pray simply to say, good morning, Lord. I'll pray to say, thank you, Lord. In fact, even if I see something on the news that I know is hurtful to you and I, I'll pray that must hurt you too, Lord. So now I'm caring about the Lord and not just hoping that the Lord cares about me. It's a two-way street going on there. Now, I must admit, ultimately, it was a prayer of desperation that brought me to the Lord, and I don't know how many people know that. Through breakups and things like that, I was finding myself on couches and things, and I was just in a bad environment. As a young bloke, I'd already had troubles on the streets and things like that, and I thought, I'm getting a bit old for this. It's pretty cold out there, as I remember it, you know. But I wasn't happy where I was, and I was really desperate, and I prayed in desperation, and I basically said to the Lord, listen, if you help me, and I didn't want $1 million, so I just wanted to land on my feet, find peace and a suitable environment for my daughter. And I basically said, if you do help me, I'll give myself to you in my entirety. So, you know, and I'll admit it was a bit last minute and things got a little bit worse before they got better, but ultimately going down that path led me to Brian and my prayer was answered. And I'm standing here today, so you could say the Lord did and I did. And like Thomas mentioned, he must want us, you know, so that's great. That's really encouraging, isn't it? And now I remember what I was going to say. Now, prayer's answered, right? Who would agree with that? Could I ask people to raise their hand if they would agree that prayer's answered? Now, that is a lot of hands from a lot of intelligent people, in my opinion. If I was filming that and I put that on the internet, that would be so encouraging to new Christians or anybody who was just hoping for answers. That's so amazing. Yeah, that's great. So now prayer is answered, and as I say, prayer's been answered for me, and it's led me to where I am today. And since that prayer has been answered, the Lord, I'll just get a couple of pieces of paper out of my pocket before I get to this next point. The Lord has done some things in my life that have made, well, they've been pretty vivid. I might as well say that the Lord has gone on to confirm his existence to me in a big way. And what sort of things would that be? Well, he just changes in me that I can't take full credit for. Changes in my life that I'm not in control of. I'm not that good. And just even as Max mentioned one time, dreams and visions, things giving you direction, things falling neatly into place where they never did before. I'm going somewhere with this. And even, of course, then realising the things that were always there, the fish, the birds, the rainbows and all this. So it's all become very vivid to me. But when I thought of saying that, of what's happened since I cried out to the Lord and how real it's all become, I thought, well, I don't want to be rude to anyone around the world. And I'm sure around the world there are people who maybe it's not that vivid for them, sort of in your face like that. And that's called faith, isn't it? That's operating on faith. Okay, so faith is a beautiful thing. That's why I have to address this if I'm going to say that. Faith is a beautiful and powerful thing. As I say, things just sort of come to me and fall into place. Well, I was looking for something to support that and just got Sil from Benin here, the bookmark that we would have grabbed from out the front. So I didn't have to go searching. I just looked down here. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Romans 12:12. And that was going to be my point about faith and prayer was, if I could go back to the day that I said, okay, basically I'm going to get on my knees. All right. Now that was I think I've been strong a lot of times through life, different types of strength. And I think those was one of those times. I couldn't see anything. I couldn't touch anything. I don't know what others would have thought of me, but I was straight on my knees and I'm talking to God. And that's faith. And I think that's a beautiful and powerful moment. If I could go back and do it again, I'd do it tomorrow. You know, so faith is really great. Now, there's different ways that you can use prayer, okay? And you can recommend prayer to people to help them. One of the examples that comes to mind for me is when somebody's sort of getting mixed messages, somebody might say to you, well, they might say, look, I'm interested in Christianity. I'm interested in Christianity. But I don't know. One pastor tells me this. Another tells me that. Bloke up the road reckons this. Fella down the road takes one verse and seems to ignore the others. And so they find they're confused. They're getting mixed messages and that. So my recommendation to somebody like that is firstly to tell them there certainly is a core to Christianity and it's very real. And yeah, you will get mixed messages, but you know you can talk directly to God. You can just speak directly to God and God does answer also. And he might answer in ways like it might just be the people he puts around you in the times to come after you speak to him. There's all sorts of ways the Lord can answer. But I was going to make the point too is, the Lord being before and after time, of course, has the answers. And now I'm remembering what I forgot earlier on. I myself am a supervisor at work, and I sometimes say to them, I'm just a person. I can only listen to one of you with one problem at a time. But, of course, the Lord can listen to all of us. We could all start praying right now. The Lord can listen to all of us. And being before and after time have the answers. Now, they might not be the answers you expected. They might not even be the answers you wanted. But what we do know, we don't always understand the mind of the Lord, but what we do know is that it's all for good, isn't it? You know, so the answers are there. He's before and after time. He's waiting for you to speak to him and he's got your answers. And it's more than you can expect. So having faith in those answers, you'll find they lead somewhere because they always seem to, I find. So another example might be a person who wants to know the Lord but worries, we've discussed this before in worship, worries what other people around them think. Well, that's very simple. You can just lie in your bed of a night and talk to God. It's very, very simple, mate. And someone like that might find that really helpful. You know, just have a bit of quiet time. I said it to my mother. My mother's a real stubborn woman. I think she needs to pray. And I said, you don't have to do it in front of anyone. You don't have to impress anyone. But you just might want to take one evening and just throw in a prayer. You might find it helps. And so prayer can be helpful to you. Prayer can be helpful when recommended to other people to help them. And the Lord loves prayer. The Lord welcomes prayer. And I thought I'd finish up with the quote from 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And you know what? I was so determined not to have notes and my mind's jumped all over the place, but I do remember I promised I'd pray, didn't I? I'll finish up also with a little confession. And that's my confession is that sometimes when I'm at a home group or here and an elder or leader says, heads down and pray, I do this. Well, the reason I do that is because when I see a bunch of good, intelligent people go to a deeper place to speak to God, that's what I find encouraging. Same as when we worship. That encourages me. So it's a bit naughty. I should have my head down, I know, but I'm just checking you out, you know. So anyway, finishing up with some prayer, I'm going to start by just thanking the Lord. It's just another simple prayer, but I'm going to start by just thanking the Lord for prayer itself. But also, while I'm discussing different sorts of prayers, I thought I'd throw into my prayer just a really simple, brief prayer of protection over the members of the church and that. And I think I'll wrap it up with that. So, Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're there for us. And thank you, Lord, that we can come to you any time with a direct line, Lord, and any problem. And you're always there waiting, Lord, and you want us to, and you want us, Lord. And thank you for all of that. Thank you that we've... for giving us prayer and for giving us that ability to speak directly to you. If we are confused, if we are lost, if we are getting mixed messages, we can come straight to you, Lord. And we know you do answer those prayers, Lord. And Lord, I'd like to do just a very simple prayer of protection, Lord, over all the members of this church, including the children out in chaos. And Lord, I just pray that as we walk with you and attempt to be more like Jesus, and as we do all we can to do your work, that you just watch over us, Lord, and that you watch over our children and those around us, Lord. And I just pray that you just cast out any demons from our home and just watch over our home and give us peace, Lord. And any demons that might cause us any grief, Lord, that you cast them out in Jesus' mighty, powerful and blessed name, Lord. Thank you. Amen.